Hi. Sorry. Really slightly. Okay, back to Gitten. So, right, we're back again, finally. It's been a while. And we're gonna start back from like Siva Sagat. But last time we were talking about Siva Sagat from the perspective of the conceptual, nature of the get. What is a get? How does it work? How do you put it all together? And now we're going to discuss how do you make a get, but more from the perspective of the practical side, right? How do you actually write a get? What do you write it on? What do you write it with? Exactly. What is the proceed? What is the makeup of the get? And again, I think that's also going to reflect on, how what is a get? How does it work in and its relationship to the creation of Gerishim? And what does that say about Ishus? But now it's much more from the more tangible side. Okay, so diving straight into the Makoros. Let's get on here. Okay, right. So the first thing we can sort of speculate about is what's the range of possibilities, right? We know a get needs to be written, but on the other hand, we know that a get is, in some level, particularly, it's sort of informational. Right? Already in the pasuk, we have this idea that he's kosev la sefer krisos, which is definitely puts an emphasis on the written nature of the get. Right? It's kasav sefer. It's a sefer. So there's some sort of chashivas probably in the way in it's written. Right? The form that it's given. On the other hand, right, we saw that a lot of it is you have the Sefer Kritzos and he's nosin biyada v'shilcha mibeso, the process of shiluchim, the breakup aspect, where the get is really serving more of an informational, a concretization of that informational, emotional communication, but not necessarily that it embodies the entire chalos. And in the sugyos about Gerushin, in the ninth parak, we definitely saw two ideas of, on the one hand, the get is a formal entity which creates Gerushin. Having the get is what creates Gerushin. Or it's the giving over of the get which creates Gerushin. Right? The emphasis on the chefta of the get has the potential, is the kores that then triggers Gerushin when you give it over. Or is it that really, the nesina of the get is what creates Gerushin. The get needs to have a certain form in order for it to be communicating what it's supposed to be communicating. It formalizes the, let's say, the breakup, but ultimately it's the vinasa biyada which really creates the Gerushin. Okay? One of the nafkaminas of those two emphases, whether it's the giving of the get that creates the Gerushin or the having of the get through the giving process that creates the Gerushin, is potentially, right, how much is the get going to need to be just a formalistic sefer, right? How much emphasis do we put on the fact that it's a sefer? Does it need to be like a sefer Torah, right? Would it, is it like tefillin or a mezuzah? It has very strict formal properties of how it needs to exist and how it needs to come together, or not, right? It needs to communicate. It needs to have the words in it. It needs to have that information and, let's say, the proof also, especially when if we add in the idea that it also needs to serve as a. So it's a idikiyum, if there are idim there inside an idikhasima, but is it needs to entertain contain the information, but it doesn't necessarily need to be a formalistic presentation thereof, right? It needs to practically contain it. Right? Those are really our two extremes. So on the one hand, I could say, it's gotta be a sefer Torah. I got like my sefer Torah get. Right? Sefer Torah. Right, it's very formal sefer, let's say, on the one end. On the other end, the extreme of the spectrum, I can say, right, it just needs to, it's a practical, needs to practically contain the information. Those are really our two extremes. And in the pasuk, on the one hand, I sort of feel drawn to the idea of sefer, because it says, right, the kasav was sefer krisos. On the other hand, right, if the emphasis is on vinasana, then maybe the more important part is the communication that it entails. And we really don't see, you know, let's say formalistic requirements within the nature of the get. And from the Mishnah, what do you guys think? I'll put up the Mishnah again. I'll read the Mishnah, and then you guys will give opinions. And b'chol kosvin, you can write it with anything. B'diyo, b'sam, b'sikra, b'kumus, b'kankantom, all these different materials. B'chol davar shehu shel kayam. You can write it with any ink that will last. You can't use anything which is not going to last. You can't use, let's say, apple juice, right, and use that. But anything which will last is fine. Al kol kosvin, al ha'ala shel zayis, v'al ha'keren shel para, v'nosim la'as ha'para, ayad shel eved, v'nosim la'as ha'eved, kilal, v'yosi ha'glili omer, in kosvin lo, al davar sheish v'urachayim, v'lo ha'loch. Okay? So you can't, right, it has to be a davar shel kayama, but you could be kosev on anything. Okay? Now what's that? I don't know, I guess it has that. That push us, what's that make you think? Yeah, all right.
I would say like towards the left, because you don't need...
Wait, which one's the left? You have to remember that my screen flips it so that it can reflip it for you.
Towards the practically containing information side, but not entirely there, because there are some restrictions and some guidelines. But there's still a lot of leniency in terms of you don't have to do anything super specific. It just needs to be like permanent, and it has to be like readable.
Right, very good. Right, so I would say, look, I need it to be readable. I need it to be lasting. Right, it's not just good enough to say it now. It has to be permanent. Right, which okay, could also even be part of the communication idea that this is like a permanent breakup. Right, so ultimately, if we put it over here. Right, and we'll say, you know, b'kol kosvin, you could use any ink as long as it lasts, right? It needs to be permanent as long as it's permanent ink, right? And you can also write on anything, right? Alcohol done, right? You definitely don't need cloth. You don't need, you know, doesn't need to be cloth. It doesn't need to be, I don't know, legal ruled, you know, parchment. Right? You don't need sirta, stuff like that, pashtas, right? You can write it on anything, right? As long as it's going to last. So that sounds like, it doesn't put this into a practical side of things. You need to write it. It needs to be written in a clear and durable manner. However, that's about it. That's all we require, right? That's the inclination. So on the other hand, but the pasuk though, the idea that kasav was sefer krisos could indicate, right, something more formal, right? It's a sefer krisos. Oopsies. Right? Could give us like a different direction. But on the other hand, not necessarily. Right? Because it could just be a way of saying, well, it's an igeres, pturin, you know, the igeres tiruchin, as the Gemara calls it as well. So we don't really know 100% what to do with this, but definitely the emphasis that we get from the Mishnah definitely puts us in the mindset of it being more practical, right? You need to write it. It needs to be written permanently. That's like a step above, you know, writing it in disappearing ink or... you know, writing it in, like, say, smoke on the window, you know, and you write, like, you know, goodbye, see you never, you know, this is a breakup, you know, I don't know, writing in the fog in the window, or, like, you write up, play a breakup song on your air guitar, right? So it needs to be more concrete than that. It needs to be actually written down in a permanent manner. But beyond that, right, we're pretty flexible, right? Definitely the Mishnah sounds to think that there isn't such a formalistic necessity to the ksav. However, right? And just like an additional element, Rashi just points out, right, Sikra is red, right? Sefer Torah stuff, right, Geo needs to be black. And Tosus points out that when it comes to Sefer Torah, not only do you need it to be black and permanent, but you need it to be made of specific materials, right? Sefer Torah by Dio, right? The Dio Shalanu Kara Dio, V'lo also Shakar Maftim, basically goes through a whole description of what the ink of a Sefer Torah it needs to be, as opposed to this, the inks that you're allowed to use for a get. Okay? So it's not good enough for a Sefer Torah, even for it to be permanent and black, it also needs to be made of specific stuff. As opposed to a baguette, it could be different colors, right? Rashi points out it could be red. And Rabbi Adam says, yeah, it could even be from all these different materials. It doesn't have to be from the stuff. Okay? So the impression we got from our Gemara definitely put us in the mindset that it needs to be practical, it needs to be written, but there's no, you know, special ritual formalistic side to things. However, if we look at the Orzarua, right, we get a very different impression, okay? Now, if we're talking about making something like a formalistic and like a Sefer Torah, you know, you can throw in all the rules of writing like a Sefer Torah. Right? So it says the Or Zeruah, Kasav Rabbeinu Tam Zatzal, which is interesting to us because we just saw Rabbeinu Tam, it definitely seems to distance it from Sefer Torah. B'tikon Seder Haget, Shashach Lebnei Paris, he sent a guidebook on how to write a get to the people of Paris. V'nahagu lichtov ksiva gasa, being ksava shuras, the big block letters that we use in writing a Sefer Torah, ubisirtot, with those lines writing a Sefer Torah, ke'in sefer, right, just like a Sefer Torah, v'yud be shuros, because that's the gematria of get, right, 9 and 3 is 12, so you're supposed to write the get in 12 shuros, hatevo shalemos, shalo yikasev Yisrael chaser ad kamusha. And you can't use abbreviations, you have to write out the whole thing. Okay? Now here, suddenly, we just, whew, right? We just went and put things back in the opposite camp. Right? If we go over here, we say, it's got to be Sabashuris, the Sirta, right, which is the lines. Okay? That definitely sounds like we're going in the Sefer Torah direction, right? Which is very, very surprising, especially considering the fact that we just, it's Rabbeinu Tam, right? Who just said, oh yeah, it doesn't need to be written like a Sefer Torah, it doesn't need to use the same inks. We have very specific requirements by a Sefer Torah and not by a get. So now I'm saying that you have to write it in Tzava Shuris and you should put it in Sirta. Okay, and now the FLP shaksav anahagu minag torahi. Here you have to do it. Why? And this is interesting because what's the Or Zeruah bring a proof from? Shakol o sheina ksuva b'ksiva gasa. Anything that's not written in ksav ashuris, right? That's not written in the block print of Sefer Torah. Ve'in gvil makifoso and isn't surrounded by paper. Like if you write it and the letter goes off the edge of the page, it's not surrounded by white paper. In a kruyos. Upsula, and it's not only that you're not allowed to, Rabbeinu Tam just said you're supposed to, right? The Zeruah says, not only are you not supposed to, it's not only Nahagu, it's Pasul. Kidditan Bakome Traba. Dalar Parsha Shabbatfilin Ma'akvin Zeseh. Hafilu Ksav Ekad Ma'akvin Raminag Marab Shita. And he goes through a bit of Gemara that proves that you have to have Gvil Ma'akvin, right? Kidditan Bakam, Pnei Ma'akaf of Roshel Shabbatfilin, skip it, okay? Okay, now what's interesting here? Where did he bring a proof from? How does Or Zeruah prove that for Rabbeinu Tam it's not just Nahagu, but it's got to be Pasul? Where's that Gemara? It's in a Kometz Rabba. Kometz Rabba is the Perek in Menachos that deals with Hilchos Sefer Torah, Tefillin, and Mezuzah. Right? Not about Gid. So what's interesting is that the Or Zeruah is coming out and saying, right, I can bring a proof from Sefer Torah and Tefillin that again needs to have a shulis and sirta and needs to be mukaf kvil, it needs to have paper all around. I couldn't put like a letter over here on the edge of the board because, you know, the pasuk by Sefer Torah, and even though Rabbi Tam only says Nahagu, here Rabbi posts it. Right? So clearly he has a very formal conception of what we mean. Right? Now, it's puts in the mind that a get is, right, like a Sefer Torah, right, a Megillah Sota, right, has a lot of ritual power to it. Right? It's not merely a contract or not merely informational, right? It's ritual. I just throw a little bit of an example. Megillah Sota, right, has all these, you know, practically mystical religious powers to it. Right? It's not just, you know, information. It's spiritually powerful. Right? A Sefer Torah isn't just words on a page, right? It has kiddush, just Sefer Torah. Again, is again not only family, right? Not only because it contains the intent or it's a manifestation of the Das Mishayim of the Baal to be Mikdash, right? It's the manifestation of their intent to end their marriage, but it ends the marriage. It's a marriage breaking device with its own internal power, right? With its own internal standing. If you look at a piece of paper again in the street, it's not just a piece of paper that could, you know, which could be used as a get, right? It is a get. It has this latent, potentially, potency, right, built into it. That's what it sounds like. That's what we're inclined to so far. What's interesting is that, but we didn't say that, right? Why is the Mishnah then not consistent with the Mishnah? Okay? So let's read a little bit more of the Zoruah, and you guys have to tell me why, what his solution is. Ubiksiva daka. So if you write in what we, let's say, what we do is, in like scripts, when you read regular Hebrew, right? So you don't do Ksav Ashuris, you write, you know, like the font that we're using on the computer. Mashakorin Mashdish, okay, that's what we call it. Inu Asukain, Hilchas Pasuk, right? A Yud in contemporary, script Hebrew, not in Ksav Ashuris, is just a little dot, it's a little line, right? So that is not the whole 9 yards of Ksav Ashuris, and therefore it's puzzle. It's not a real yud. Umaisa hayu beget cheros shenichtav ksiva daka mashekorein mashdish upasluhu rabosim yalfila alami isha ksiv kasavla veizra karoi ksiva upirish mori rabbi nesimcha da alzeh samchim shenagu heter lichtav psukim beksivas hityotos belo sirtot mishum de ksiva daka mashekorein mashdish ino ksuvin shtar hityotos. Eno chash of ksav share eno mitukan ke hogan. Okay, what's that? What's that mean? How does that throw an interesting monkey wrench into this question? Think about his last problem, his kula at the end, right? And then how he brings that backwards.
So I'm a little confused about the kula at the end. Is there some sort of iser to write psukim without sirtut? And that's what he's saying, that if you're writing in lashon in a ktav gasa, a ktav
daka. Oh, there's a few reasons.
I'm actually okay. Just.
You're back.
Sorry, did you, is there some sort of iser to write psukim without sirtut?
Yes.
Okay, fine.
There's an iser to write psukim without sirtut. And they're saying, oh, but that's okay, because if you write it, right, in RxF, you know, in like, if you use this for you, and this is above. And you're not doing it right, right? Because there's a very specific way you're supposed to write letters. It's not Ksav Ashuris. You know, if you write an aleph like this, that's not a real aleph. A real aleph has got to be, you know, 9 yards, into this, and all the different stuff. And therefore, you're not really right, right? So what's he saying?
Are you saying that the get needs to be real ktav, but beyond it? it needs to be ketav to have any sort of status, and the lashon and the ketav daka doesn't have any status. But I don't think he's not. It's, you don't have all the restrictions like a Sefer Torah on top of that. It's just in order to give it any sort of viability, it needs to like actually have ketav, and that needs to be ushuri.
Right. He's saying there's two different things, right? There's a question of the chefza. And in terms of the chefza, it's not a Sefer Torah at all. Bechol kolotzvim, you can use any dia, you can use any ink, and you can write it on anything. It doesn't even need to be written on cloth. Because the chefza isn't a chefza shebe kedusha or a ritual item, right, with ritual powers, right? It's not a ritual item. It's a non-ritual item, but what is it? It's not ritual. Right? This is a ritual item. And with ritual, right? Ritual item with ritual powers, right? Your Sefer Torah is a Sefer Torah, and it has Kedusha because of that. It's a Chalos, right? And your, let's say your regular Shtar is what? Or your regular piece of paper, your newspaper, is informational, right? It contains useful information, and that's fantastic, right? But, interestingly enough, right, you can't, let's say, text message a get, right? It has to be written b'chsav. You can't just send it as a, it has to be something permanent, okay? But in theory, you could argue that as long as it's written, as long as you have a permanent manifestation of, let's say, you have a permanent manifestation of the information, you're good to go. Of info / content, right? That's fine, okay? But what we're saying here, according to the Rizurua, is it needs to be, it's not a ritual item, but it's not just a permanent manifestation of your of the information, right? It needs to be written. So it's a formal non-ritual item, right? It needs to be ksav, it needs to be a sefer. Right? We have standards for what constitutes officially recognized writing, right? So, but it's formal. So it's a formal, non-ritual writing. It needs to be written formally according to the rules of writing, right? You have to follow the rules of calligraphy, let's say. In this case, you have to write it in ksav ashuris, in real font, right? In the legal, you know, on a legal pad, right? But it's, what it needs to be written on is called out, and it can be written with anything, right? Because you're not trying to create a chefta shemikdusha, but you have to write it in real ksav, right? And what extent does he take it to? He says, oh, and from this I have a kula kula, which is what? There's an issur to write psukim without sirtud. Right? You have to write psukim only with sirtud and according to certain like rules of how you're allowed to write psukim. But if you're not writing it for realsies, right? If you're not writing in ksav ashuris, you're not really writing it. Right? It's like when you write chicken scratch to yourself, or like when the doctor writes you a prescription, right? If he writes it legibly, then it's not a real prescription. Right? It's only a good prescription if it's total gibberish, right? Then the doctor will like scribbles on the page and the pharmacist is supposed to figure it out. But same thing in the opposite sense is true here. It's only real ksav if it's written ksav ashuris. Right? And written properly. Otherwise, right, you didn't write it. But if you didn't write it, so you, the problem isn't that, oh, a get is this chalos that is independently and ritually powered. Right? A get might still very well be, right, it's, you know, the cause of Asif Ramis is Vinasan Biyada, but you have to really write it down. It has to be his intent to ksav. But if you don't write it to ksav ashuris, it's not ksav. Right? So now we really have three possible factors, or three ways of looking at it. Right? It's not just a question of is it practical, or is it, you know, ritual, but it can be practical, formal, or ritual. Right? Because if it's formal, then it doesn't need to be on cloth. It doesn't need to be yo. It's not something which is, let's say, imbued with its own independent ritual powers, but it still is legal, and something that's legal often needs to be done formally, right? So it needs to be legal stuff. Yeah, to you.
Would you mind just clarifying how you're defining ritual in this context?
Yeah, I'm trying to just use it mostly to say there's things which are formal, right? And then there are things which are not just formal, but they sort of contain their own extra-worldly powers almost, right? So say a Sefer Torah is more than just it's there are words of Torah on the page. It's a Sefer Torah. It's got this extra Kedusha and extra powers. You know, when you read out from a Sefer Torah as opposed to a Chumash, both of them are print, are, you know, the words of Torah on a page. But when you read from a Sefer Torah, it's, you know, Kriyas HaTorah, and it's got Kedusha, and, you know, in like Kachin Taros, it's like Metame Yadayim, Sifrei HaKodesh, Bechul. Right? As opposed to, and let's say Megillah Sota, right, when you erase it into the Mayim HaMarim and do the whole thing, right, it creates this chalos. As opposed to, let's say, a shtar, regular shtar is formal, it's legal, let's say shtar raya or something, but it's not creating any sort of extra, you know, transcendent identity, right? So I would say here, so Har Torah Zeruah, it's formal, even though it's non-ritual, and therefore it needs to be written in real ksav. Right, has been written in the legally accepted writing. For example, right now in Ukraine, if you were to write get in Russian, it wouldn't work. It wouldn't be legally accepted. Because all like formal legal matters now would have to be done in Ukrainian. It's passed a law. Right? So they took away Russian status as being something that's formally legally recognized. Right? It doesn't take away from its practical informational capacity, right? If you read Russian, you understand what it's saying. But formally, it's no longer legally recognized. So the Orzor is saying, it's not that I want to create like a safer shoget, right? I just need the ksav shoget, but I need ksav. There's this formal kind of reason thing called ksav. Okay, I'm just going to make that in red. Make more colors. Din of ksav. Okay, now the Zeruah though does continue, okay, and then he repeats again, right? The haksiva ksuva bo ve'in zu ksiva, right? Oh, so this is Gishmak, because he says like this. He says, la'olam kol osha in hagvil makif osa in a kriyos, if it's not surrounded by paper and your letter bleeds off to the edge of the page, it's not considered a letter. Upsula, and don't come around and nitpick and say, "Velomar davka b'tfilin, be'inar shetei mukefas gvil avalo beget." Don't say, "Oh, but it's of course tfilin is different because tfilin is about creating a chalois tfilin, right? It's a ritual item as opposed to a get, which is a merely legal item. Why? Dhaksiva ksuva bo, ve'in zu ksiva, right?" If you write it improperly, if you don't follow the rules of writing, then it's not the kasavla. We need it to be formally written. So you're right that there's a difference between a get and tefillin, is that tefillin are ritual and a get is only formal. But if it needs to be written, then it needs to follow the formal rules of writing. Umaisa balafne mori avia ezrin zitzal, the getchelo hikif gvilasa os upaslo. Okay. Remainu Yitzlik bar Avram Zetzal Hayamatzrich Lasos Zunin Beget Kimo B'Sefer Torah V'Ay Omer Kol Os She'inu Mezuyim B'Tagin Shel Shanes Gatz. Right, those are the letters that need those tagin, those little things on top of the letters. Ki Din Sefer Torah Inu Kruyos. Okay, and he says V'Inu Raya. He doesn't like the Raya that he brings. V'Chule. Okay, what's the Riva saying? I think the Riva really holds that, and this is the Orzor Riva. And over here, we have the Riva. Because the Riva is saying just like a Sefer Torah, not only do you need to write it, you also need to put on those little tagim on top. Okay? And exactly what's the differentiation that the Or Zoros says? He says, when it comes to Shabbos, right, you, by Sefer Torah, Osios Tzrichin Zunin, because of Sefer Acher, the sky of the Kimish, but Osios shall Sefer Torah, then Melachat Machshavos also Torah, because you didn't do what you wanted to do. Right? But in general, right, they're clearly considered Osios, right, which is assuming is basically that the Tagana, like the Din in Sefer Torah, right? The Rebbe thinks, yeah, well, you need to tag it. You need to write it like the Sefer Torah, but it's safer. Right? So I think maybe the Rebbe, not 100%, but maybe he really thinks that you need to treat it like a Sefer Torah. It needs to be this formal ritual item. Okay? Now, at the end, he quotes the Rambam, who takes it in the direction that, you know, we would have expected in the beginning from the Mishnah. Rav Moshe Bar Maimon Zatzal Kasav. That's what you need. It just needs to be clear. It needs to be written in whatever font you're using, in whatever script you're using, as long as, you know, the people who understand that script and use it normally can understand what you're writing. That's good enough for me. Okay? So basically, the Rambam is saying, what's the important thing? What's the defining factor?
Yeah. You just need that you don't understand it.
Right. It needs to be more hative. It just needs to be discernible. I don't care what ksav you use. I don't use, no matter what font you use, right? I just care. It doesn't have to be ksav ashuris, right? Because who cares how you write it? The important thing is only that what? The important thing is simply that practically it's clear, right? As long as I know exactly what you're trying to say, Rambam says, you're fine. You're good to go. That's not an issue at all, right? Because practically, I want to before I hate it to those who read that tzav, I could use whatever tzav I want. You know, tzav Rashi, when you're little, it's like, oh my gosh, tzav Rashi, the big print is so hard. You have to learn it, you know, new. Rambam says, that's fine. As long as people who understand tzav Rashi can read it clearly, that's good enough for me, right? Because the point is clarity of information. I just care that you're getting across the information. I don't care exactly what font you use and what type you use. Okay? So you actually have here, and the Or Zoros then says, no, it can't be that the Rambam says that, because then it's not ksav at all, right? You're just going to open up the Zoros here. V'nir v'ein eshetal sofer hi, v'kach ani sofer shiyesh kach lios ho'il v'nikra le'inyan echer, av mi shiyesh bo mash megiru shen arez apostle, v'mam rei hik b'rafidu al ksav m'ukam, v'kol shikin al ksiv adaka. If the Rambam thinks that illegibility is a problem, kol shikin, you can't write it in anything other than ksav ashuris. That's a terrible kol shikin. Right? But what it reflects is that he's very, very, very convinced that it's not ksav unless you write it in ksav ashuris. Right? So kal v'chomer, if it has to be legible and understandable, of course it needs to be real ksav. Right? But from our perspective, right? That's not a problem at all, right? The whole point is, for the Rambam, and from the Pashas of the Mishnah, is, it just needs to be a permanent, right, manifestation of the information. The kol ksav that you write it, that should be fine. As long as it's clear. Right? As long as it's legible, as long as it's useful. It's just to sum up, you have really three different approaches to how do you write again, in terms of the practical stage. Do you just need to contain the information, right? Harayat Ba'atmeh, Harayat Mataras L'chol Adam, the manifestation of the Das to be Megarish, in a clear way, just in a something that lasts. That's really our only requirement. It needs to be written on something that's going to last, and it has to be clear that the information is there, right? That's it. It's very practical. according to the Orza Ruah, inconceivable that we would let you do that because it's not real ksav, it's not formal ksav. Right? But his whole assumption is based on the idea that, again, it needs to have this formal ksav status. It needs to be like a legally, formally written document, right? And therefore, it needs to follow the rules of legal writing in halacha, which means it's got to be ksav ashures, it's got to be written with klaf being makif. And the rivah brought down by the Orzura, and also it sounds a little bit like the Rinu, the minhag that he quotes from Rabbi Tam, which he learns out from Tfilin, also sound like that, even though Rabbi Tam himself doesn't sound that way, is that actually, right, it really needs to be similar to a Sefer Torah, it needs tagin, it needs to have this formal status. Now, that being said, you can't go too far with this side of the Rinu. You know, the Pasuk says, right, Sefer Krisos, because we do say that you don't need to use Dio, and you don't need to write it on cloth, right? So definitely there's some limitation to the extent that we're willing to go and say, oh, you know, it has this ritual importance. It's got to be, you know, a ritual item with all the Dino of Sefer Torah. Clearly it doesn't, because it's not written on cloth, it's not written with Dio. So there's some limitation to that. Right, you can't go all the way with this definition, but it could also be that those are definitions in right Kisvei HaKodesh. So it doesn't need to be Kisvei HaKodesh, but it does need to be like you know formally and ritually potent, and therefore it only has most of these. Okay, but it definitely puts us in the side of looking at it from a more ritual perspective, more of the idea that the get in and of itself has the power to be begotten. And just taking this into like a much more hashkafati perspective is how do we look at gerushin, right? How much is gerushin, you know, naturally you shouldn't have gerushin. Ishos should be permanent. And the Torah is mechadesh that you could create divorce, right? One option in the Yerushalmi. And then you would need like just as ishos, right, is a special chalos, you would need a new chalos, right, created by a get to create gerushin, right? As opposed to potentially, right? No, gerushin is really natural. In theory, right, the Rambam says, before Matan Torah, you could just say, great, we're done. Goodbye. The chiddush of the Torah is that there needs to be a formal process to it, right? You need to write it down. It's not just verbal, but that can be accomplished over, right, without creating necessarily a ritual item. Right? The chiddush of the Torah is that in order to be megarish, you need to write it down, do beksav, and make it formal. Right? And the Orza Ruah is somewhere in the middle. Potentially, the idea of there being a more of the formal Kenyan perspective in gerushin and ishos, right? That they're both connected to this idea of creating ishos creates a formal relationship between them. Gerushin creates a right the formal undoing of that. Both of those are very much emphasized, not so much on the personal level necessarily, or on the ritual level, but on the legal level, right? But the formal relationship between them. And the get is dafka therefore going to be more of a formal legal document where it's going to follow formal legal requirements. Good questions?
Oh yeah, thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah. Okay, are you saying that those who put an emphasis on Nitina as opposed to Ketiva are calling divorce less of a chiddush?
No, if I would say dafka that if you think the emphasis is on Ksiva, then divorce would be more of a chiddush, I think.
Okay.
Right, because you're giving more ritual significance to the creation of the get as somebody that is able to undo Isha as a bigger chiddush, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the more I stick with the pre-Matan Torah model of take goodbye and we're, you know, you're good to go, then the more I can say, oh, okay, you say goodbye, Ishus is over, the Torah is machadish, then it needs to be b'ksav. But what really creates the gerushin is the nesina, the v'shil from Yisa. As opposed to saying, oh, what really creates the gerushin is the get. You give her the get, and then the get creates the gerushin. It creates is a much more of a ritualistic sort of formal process as opposed to a practical emotional process.
All right. Also, slightly more tangential. In terms